Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Silver Screen Roll Podcast Network. This is I Love Basketball. I'm Sabrina Merchant, joined by Anthony Irwin, and we're here to talk about a Lakers loss to the Sacramento Kings, which, ugh.
Well, I gotta say, that was way more fun than I thought it was going to be. That was like, I'm just gonna come out and say it. That's like the loudest I've been in my living room. I mean, I couldn't really make any noise because my wife is sleeping in one room and then my daughter is sleeping in another. So, but like, I was actually into the game. It was a lot of fun. It's funny how refreshing just not seeing the same players night after night after night after night. And as they get just more and more fatigued, it's kind of nice to just see some fresh legs out there, some guys really trying to prove themselves out there. And yeah, it was a fun one. Sucks to lose, but you know, it was a decent way to spend my Wednesday night.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I know that the Lakers haven't had a rivalry, so to speak, with the Kings in a very long time. And even then, it's hard to say if it was a rivalry because aren't both teams supposed to beat each other. But I still don't enjoy when the Lakers lose to the Kings. I have perfectly fine time rooting for the Kings to beat other teams. It's just not the Lakers. It's funny, there was that one Buddy Hield three that apparently looked like his foot was on the line, and it was ruled a
not
three.
Not look like.
Okay, yeah, his foot was on the line. Probably should have been ruled a two. For some reason, they had all of halftime to rule that. It did not happen. They had all of the second half, and it did not happen. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, remember that time that the Lakers played the Kings in the playoffs and Samaki Walker got up a three-point after the buzzer and it counted, and that ended up being dramatically important? Oh, well, karma. Who cares?
Yeah, Kings fans no longer get to complain, right? Like, no, this, we're all
the points have been
all even. We're all, you know, there's the it's the same situation, same stakes, but we're good.
You know, in a game that actually mattered, I would be bemoaning the fact that Montrezl Harrell got called for a technical for saying "and one," which in that case, how did Carlos Boozer make it 12 years in the NBA or however many years he played?
Carlos Boozer would have to dip into his 401k if he got a T for every time he did that. Referees, like, I don't know. I whined about it in yesterday's Locked On Lakers, and I've whined about it a couple times over the course of the season. Can we just get them some headphones?
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough.
Like, just get them, like, the NBA probably has partnerships with Beats. Just get them some Beats. Just cover your ears.
You know, running with AirPods is pretty easy. Like,
yeah. Well, have you ever seen, there's a movie, oh man, it was one of those like old Billy, I'm super dating myself, but there was an old Billy Crystal.
Forget Paris.
It was that
where
it?
He's the ref.
Where he's the ref and he like throws out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's like, just because he had like a bad day going into it, right? And Kareem's like, it's my farewell game. And Billy Crystal's like, well, farewell, you know?
It's really good. You know, I'm not that much younger than you, actually, Anthony. I used to watch it with my brother quite a bit. That
well, we are aging ourselves then.
Yeah. We'll do that. If you haven't seen Forget Paris, it's actually quite delightful. You know,
yeah.
It's just such a funky premise that, you know, Billy Crystal's this NBA ref, but it's a good time. But anyway, we are nominally here to talk about the fact that the Lakers lost to the Kings, what was it, 113-110. They were without three starters. Another completely unrelated aside, my brother came back and was watching the end of the game with me, and he was like, well, you know, our defense sucks because we're missing like three potential defensive player of the year candidates, like in their prime. And I'm thinking like that's a really high praise for Alex Caruso. Like, it's like, oh yeah, Mark is missing. Well,
I was going to say that the Lakers were missing an MVP candidate and LeBron and Anthony Davis.
You know? Yeah. I was like, I mean, I guess LeBron and Anthony Davis are DPOY candidates in their prime, but like AC, like that's a lot. And it's like, no, the one guy who's actually won a defensive player of the year.
Oof, LeBron. Yeah. Yeah. Just in case you're listening, LeBron, that was Sabrina Merchant. And I promise I should continue to stay on the Lakers beat.
Yeah, Mark's just, you know, holding that trophy for him as he has been since 2013. Right? Yeah, I think you hit a good point earlier. Like this game was surprisingly fun considering all of the absences that the Lakers were dealing with, and probably because of the absences that the Lakers were dealing with. You know, we got a really hot shooting start for the Lakers, which I thought was going to portend good things going forward. But again, they were missing a lot of substantial defensive personnel. So it's unsurprising that Sacramento, who is a good offensive team, was able to score on them kind of at will, you know, once that first 6 minutes or so had passed. But I thought it was good for, you know, Markieff to get into more of a rhythm. I thought it was good for Kuz to get into rhythm. KCP finally got some shots up. Ironically, like the first half was really bad for Dennis Schroeder, but I think he, you know, picked it up afterwards too. You know, he was the reason I think that the Lakers run it by the end of it. And, you know, one layup away from the Lakers going into the break with a win. But who really stood out to you, like a guy who doesn't usually get this kind of playing time? What?
I mean, I'm driving the Damian Jones bandwagon right now. Like that, everybody who is on this bus with me, we are riding high. You know, I might have to turn this thing into a double decker here pretty soon, and it just to fit everybody. I really like what he brings. There were a few occasions. So his line. 0 points.
You did not expect to see that when you looked at the box score.
Did you see it in my face? His lines. Oh. Crap. So his line's not the kind of thing you're going to write home about. 0 points, a single board, and a block. Mm-hmm. A plus one, though, on the evening. He didn't even get a shot. Well, all right. Well, here's my point, though. So he didn't get a shot because the Kings actually cared about him on pick and rolls. And like to this point in the season, when the Lakers have been running pick and rolls for Dennis Schroeder or for Alex Caruso, you know, though he didn't play in this one, there hasn't been much space gained because the other team kind of knows that AD setting that pick and then just kind of looking to take advantage of the switch. Or, you know, Montrezl Harrell is going to set that pick, but isn't really a lob threat in the way that Damian Jones is. And when Jones was out there setting his screens, shouts to David Locke, like there was a ton of screen assists from Jones in this one. I can't believe I'm saying this. But yeah.
You know we're not on a lockdown show right now, right? You're not contractually obligated to say those two words together.
You'd be surprised. I'll show you my contract. But like Jones, I just think he brings something to the Lakers. Now he takes some stuff off the table because there are things that he can't do that like Marc Gasol can, or Montrezl Harrell sometimes can, or Markieff Morris when he's playing the five can. But there are just some things he makes point guards' life easier just because he's a giant human being who is capable of jumping 36 inches in the air.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, there was one play where I thought he was going to earn free throws because I want to say Kuz lopped it to him and he got fouled on the attempt. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, I don't understand why if you were being thrown a lob pass, you were clearly like in the act of shooting because you were right. Going for the dunk. How is it not a shooting foul? It has bothered me for years, but whatever. That should have been the statistics that were on Damian Jones' stat line today. He would have had zeros all throughout.
Still hasn't missed a shot as a Laker. There you go.
Oh, yeah. I did not realize that.
I think so.
But yeah, to me, it was clear that Damian Jones has never practiced with the Lakers because on the one hand, like you can go set the screen for a guy when he calls for it and run a pick and roll. And that's not terribly complicated. But on the other hand, like there were so many miscommunications on defense. Like they were constantly like, when are you supposed to be here? Like, isn't that the guy you were supposed to take? And I don't blame him because obviously they had just no time with Jones. Like he was signed on Thursday or Friday, like his first day with the team was on Friday. They played on Friday. They obviously didn't practice on Saturday because they played again on Sunday. And then they probably didn't practice on Monday because they played again on Tuesday. And here we are. Like, there's just no time to acclimate yourself to the playbook. Or even if you do, like, what does the playbook even mean if LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Marcus Gasol aren't playing? You know, it's entirely different. So there were definitely stretches where you could tell, like, these five guys have never been on the court together. And that's kind of interesting to watch, right? Like, what's going to happen, you know, when Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Kuzma and Alphonso McKinney and Jared Dudley are on the court together? Like, it's exciting. It's, you know, a lot of this season has been just knowing what the Lakers are supposed to look like, and then kind of bemoaning the fact that they're not as good as we think they're going to be. And this was just a refreshing little dash of like, hey, we have some other things that we're going to throw at you because nobody cares about this game. And like you said, that, you know, obviously Damian Jones is just the light of everyone's light right now. But I, for one, was really happy to see Jared Dudley play some real minutes. I know he got into the game yesterday against Phoenix. Sorry, because he had the right neck strain. I got to say, Jared Dudley playing a back-to-back is not something that I would have put on my Lakers bingo card at the start of the season, but kudos to you, Jared Dudley, for making that happen.
It's on my bucket list. Maybe not bingo, but he bucket list for sure.
Stripped De'Aaron Fox clean on the perimeter and led a fast break. And I got to tell you, that was probably my favorite Jared Dudley moment of his entire career. Like, it was beautiful.
I just love how much the Lakers love Jared Dudley.
So true.
Like, his teammates freaking, it's so endearing. It's so pure. It's like sincere. Cause you know, sometimes how, like, I, you know, when a team has like the 14th or 15th guy, it can sometimes feel like they're mocking the guy.
Yeah.
But they like legit love the dude.
They totally do.
they like straight up, like, just really enjoy when good things happen for Jared Dudley. And it's just, it's a pleasure to watch. Yeah, we should probably take a break, but I actually think there were a couple things that that can come out of this game.
Yeah,
you know, I really think that this game can be productive.
Other than potentially leading to Luke Walton's firing, but anyway, let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about those potential conclusions.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
All right, and we're back. So the Lakers lost to the Kings by 3. Totally expected result considering they were missing 3 starters and Alex Caruso. But there were, to your opinion, Anthony, some things that we can take away from this game, as it is the last one heading into the All-Star break. So I'm going to leave it to you. What do you think we should be thinking about the Lakers?
Well, a couple things. Before I even get to that, though, this is via our own Harrison. He tweets out, of Buddy Hield's 2 that was counted as a 3 incorrectly, Frank Vogel says the officials told him that it had been too long to change it once the replay center got back to them. What?
I don't think that's the rule.
Like there's a statute of limitations in a game when it's like an actual point?
If the replay center is getting back to you, like, isn't that when you make the decision? Like, you send it up to replay and they're like, oh, it was a 2. Fix it.
Right. I don't understand what the hell is going on.
Like, it'd be like, one thing if it was the end of the fourth quarter and you change it like after 4 minutes and it's like, well, it entirely changes the balance of the way you're playing. I get that. You could have changed it at halftime and everyone has plenty of time to fix it.
Well, also, like, you know, the NBA is developing all these partnerships with gambling. And what happens if that affects the line, you know, and you have potential thousands of dollars switching hands based on the fact that there's, again, apparently a statute of limitations on the correct call being made in a basketball game. Like, what are we doing here? I'm not even kidding. I don't know that I wager anything on an NBA game anymore, because like, why? This thing can just be, they can just pick and choose when they're going to abide by rules. Huh?
I have never heard that it was too late in a game to change a 2-3.
When like, you have all of halftime.
That's absurd. That is, I think I have spent too much time thinking about referees recently. And I don't know if it's because the Lakers are losing more, and so it's something to focus my energies on, but I really do believe that there are some problems here that need to be addressed. And it is frustrating as hell, because
yeah,
the NBA really should be like the most entertaining product. Like, there's so much good talent on the court. Mm-hmm. And yet we're talking about, God, like Devin Booker getting ejected, or Donovan Mitchell like having a war of words with the referees, or whatever happened with Dame and Draymond at the end of that Golden State game. And now, like, mm-hmm. you literally can't just figure out that the guy's foot was on the line and it's only worth 2 points. Like, that is a foundational rule since like the 1960s.
It's subjective. It's not even subjective, Sabrina. We're talking about, like, this isn't like a block or a charge thing.
Exactly.
This isn't a carryover. This isn't, you know, contact and verticality or whatever at the rim. This is somebody's foot. Dude, his arch was on the freaking, like, it was not close. This reminds me of the Kevin Durant play, right? Where there's a fan literally closer to the court than he was when they let him save the ball.
That's right. You know,
like, what are we doing here? What's the point of review? Either get rid of review completely. Get rid of it altogether, mm-hmm. right? Acknowledge that your referees suck and say that this is just something like baseball does this with balls and strikes, right? They're right. Like, our umpires are human beings, mm-hmm. and they aren't going to get every single ball and strike call right. We can't review those things. And if you yell at them enough about it, you're going to get thrown out of the game, right? Mm-hmm. Either handle your referees' incompetence that way, or actually enforce an objectively correct call. And again, like, I don't even care. I don't care. It's what was it? This is, the Lakers are now 27-13. So game number 37 on the season of a 72 game season. I give a rat's bleep about it. I don't care at all, but there's something inherently wrong with the system here. If referees and the replay center can just decide, yeah, I know that like that's the correct call, but we're just not going to listen.
It's so weird to me, because like, don't they always like the referee who is closest to the play will hold up his hand, right? Like, mm-hmm. as if to signal three.
Yeah.
And then they point to the monitor to check.
Yeah.
You're telling me like they couldn't get that done fast enough to read. I am flummoxed. This is so stupid. Like, okay, I did not want that game to go into overtime, and it was more likely that it would go into overtime had the Lakers been down by two. Let's be clear. This outcome is perfectly acceptable. The Lakers probably did not deserve to win that game. It would have been fine had they won. You know, they put in a nice effort. They just didn't have enough gas down the stretch. Like, you don't miss four layups in a row when you're perfectly ready to go. It's fine that the Lakers lost. This is not about wins and losses. This is just stupid. Yeah. It's stupid.
The NBA's calls on the NBA's policy on reversing calls is my same policy when either Avery or Callie gets far enough into food they shouldn't be eating. Like, damage is done. Shit. Oh, well. Like,
oh, they opened the wrapper. It's too late.
Right. Yeah, I guess I got to eat the Reese's now. Sorry. You know, like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even have words about this. It's stupid. Anthony, right, you were about to tell me why
I was
the
make
Lakers.
A point. Yeah. So where I think this game could be potentially productive for the Lakers is because of the circumstances under which this season is being played. You have you don't have any practice time. Mm-hmm. And in that practice time is when guys like McKinney, guys like Damian Jones under normal circumstances, right? You just guys further down the Devontae Kaycock, for example, right. Like, his hardly played this year at all. Guys like that usually develop and earn trust with their coach in the practice facility by going up against these guys that they would be competing with 4 minutes or even if they aren't competing with them for minutes, because Devontae Kaycock is just not going to be competing with Marc Gasol for minutes. Like, that's not how this rotation is going to work. But can he show Frank Vogel that on a night where Gasol is exhausted, or on a night where Montrezl Harrell is exhausted, or the matchup just doesn't really work out, can Kaycock get out there and hold his own and spell them for 5-10 minutes here and there, you know? And I think with this game going the way that it did, where Alphonso McKinney, who, again, I've really wanted to see some more Alphonso McKinney this year. Me and Stephen A. Smith are all about
him and Esty brothers too. Very big on Alphonso McKinney.
Yeah. And so, like, we're, you know, I've wanted to see what he could bring to the table, and, you know, he did fine out there. He was not a complete disaster. And that's basically, you know, for the Lakers, I think as this next half of the season is going to continue to be tough, by the way, like, they have 8 back-to-backs. They are still trying to squeeze, you know, 72 games into the short amount of time
coming up here.
Yeah. Like, the team is going to get a quick respite here, and then they're going to dive right back into being exhausted. So by showing Frank Vogel, with McKinney showing Vogel, and with Damian Jones showing Vogel, that, hey, we can be productive out there, even though Damian Jones literally was not productive, like, we can go out there and we can hold our own. And like, hopefully
sorry, I'm still thinking of you reading the stat line earlier.
Like, hopefully we don't have to continue to watch, like, a completely gassed LeBron dribble the ball off his foot down the stretch of a game, because he's just that tired. You know, if AD is sitting at 85% and, like, cannot dunk a basketball, then cool. Like, we can get a few minutes in there from Damian Jones, and he can do some of the things athletically that AD can. And just the idea of planting the trust in Vogel's head, I think, here is how this game, I think, can actually matter moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I have literally no idea what to expect from Alphonso McKinney, because he's played nothing beyond garbage time, I think, this entire season. I couldn't have even told you, like, what his, like, skill set was, you know, heading into this game. And it was just nice to see that he is a legitimately competent player. I mean, he was part of a rotation last year. Admittedly, that was in Cleveland, so I don't really know what that means. But sorry, I didn't mean to take a shot at the Cavaliers. It's just, like, lottery teams, you know, it's not a lot to be gained there. But it was cool to see that he, like, there's a reason that the Lakers kept him. I mean, it wasn't just purely cap machinations. Like, there is a reason that he is deserving of being on an NBA roster. And it's nice to see that rewarded for guys, you know, because I'm sure he's been, like, a perfectly good soldier this entire season, right? Like, we haven't heard any peeps out of the Laker locker room about how these guys are upset that they're not getting any time. He's happy to play his role, and it's nice when that role is actually rewarded with minutes. I've thought a lot about, you know, the Lakers not sending their guys to the G League bubble. I know they didn't send a team, which I don't really understand the rationale for that, but whatever. Like, plenty of teams have just been assigning their players to other affiliates just so they could get some minutes. And I wonder if that would have been nice for Kostas or Devontae Kaycock to have that opportunity, because the Lakers don't use them. Like, it's not like we needed them to fill these minutes, because, like, even tonight when the rotation was down 4 players, neither of them got on the court, right?
Well, Kostas has his knee in a brace. I think he's still hurt.
I thought he played against Phoenix. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but
maybe. Yeah. I thought it might've been a different player who had his knee in a brace.
It's just interesting to see that, you know, the two ways aren't getting on the court regardless. So I wonder if that might've been a better use of their minutes, was to send them to Orlando and, like, have them at least get some time
play
on the floor
for somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm neither here nor there, because the season's basically over. So
yeah, I mean,
the G League season, I mean,
I'm just looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, obviously for guys like Kaycock and guys like Kostas less so, right? Because he's always going to be Giannis's brother. And so teams are always going to be kind of looking for a way to use him. But for somebody like Kaycock, for example, who is not related to one of the best players in the NBA, like, this season does kind of suck. It's kind of a lost season for him, and he's not going to have very many seasons this year. So, or not very many seasons moving forward.
Right.
So, you know, and also, by the way, like, it can help the Lakers. The Lakers need young, fresh legs in there every so often, just to you know, can you get Kaycock on the floor and not have the opposing team go on a 8-0 run in 4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think he's that bad of a player. I've always felt that way about Alphonso McKinney, and I have continued to feel that way about Damian Jones. And so the more that these guys actually prove, now Kaycock didn't get to because he didn't play, but the more that these guys can actually prove to Vogel, like, hey, and we have it on tape, I was not terrible. You know, it's at least an option. Cause to this point, because like, I kind of know the way that coaches think. If they never see it, it's kind of hard to just say, all right, go have at it. unless the circumstance dictates it the way that tonight did. But now it's not just throwing them into the deep end. Now they can, now they've seen them swim. They've seen them handle the water, and now they can throw them out there and feel a little bit more confident about it when the second half of the schedule really sets in.
Yeah. I just worry that we're going to be back in a situation where, like, the starters get a week off, right? And they mm-hmm. open the schedule, and, you know, we're back to that 9-man rotation where,
yeah,
within 2 weeks, everybody looks gassed again. But it's just a tough scenario for everybody in the league, right? With how compressed the games are, with how little practice time there is. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody looks a little bit more lifeless than you would expect at this point of the season. So thankfully that break is coming, because I don't want to watch this current iteration of the Lakers play too many more games.
I'm so happy there's a break. I'm so thrilled.
Just, you know, last thing before we head out here, the All-Star game is coming up, and I, for one, am just a huge fan of All-Star weekend. I absolutely love it. And the Lakers have not been prominently involved recently in All-Star weekend. Like, most of our guys do not participate in the skills challenges. Dwight mm-hmm. Howard's weird appearance in the slam dunk contest is obviously an exception last year. And I immediately forgot about it up until I was prepping for this podcast, because I wanted to make sure that I had some details at hand, but
I had no idea he was in.
He did like a nice thing where he like unveiled his shirt to show like the Superman logo, and then the Superman logo was like KB in the middle, because Kobe had offered to help him with the dunk. But anyway, I'm just here to ask you, Anthony, what are your favorite Laker memories from All-Star weekend?
Whew. There aren't very many.
Mm.
I was pretty young when Kobe won the slam dunk contest. The first thing that unfortunately came to... All right. So the actual best Laker memory was Kobe's the All-Star game that he went toe-to-toe with Michael in. Like, that to me is like just... I was kind of young, but it was so incredible to see that go down, and to see the amount that Michael really seemed to enjoy that moment as much as Kobe did. And that they were kind of going back from and talking the way that they were on the court. So that's my all-time favorite. And then I this was before my time, but Magic, when he came back from AIDS or mm-hmm. from HIV, and he had that, I think that was in 96 or 95, and, you know, just lights up the All-Star game and hits that three-pointer. I don't even think the game officially ended. All the players just decided, like, we're done. It's not going to get better than that. So that was a really cool moment. And then, like, the first moment that actually came to mind when you asked was Shannon Brown's dunk contest.
I knew that's what you were thinking. I saw the look on your face, and I was like, he's trying to be more positive.
It's the same look that I gave when I saw Damian Jones's line. It was just... So my wife and I, Jen and I, have this tradition that I'm not really a big Valentine's guy.
Mm-hmm.
Her family has always celebrated Valentine's. So we meet each other in the middle, and on Valentine's Day, because slam dunk contest usually happens around there. Yeah. We go out for a nice dinner, and then we go to like a sports bar, and we watch the slam dunk contest and All-Star Saturday together. Mm-hmm. And that's like our, we've been doing that now. We counted up the years. I think we've been doing that for like 12 years now.
Oh, wow.
And so it's just this, like, you know, little cool thing that we have between us. So I love the weekend. It's just unfortunate the Lakers never really seem to participate in any real productive way.
Yeah. I mean, the Shannon Brown thing was actually one of the first ones I thought of too, because like let Shannon dunk.com was such a funny thing, right?
And I was so pumped.
I thought he was going to be great. I still maintain that he probably saved some dunks for the second round, which he thought he was going to advance to, mm-hmm. and did not, because the first round was just, it was bad. And it was the easiest joke in the world when Kenny Smith said, do not let Shannon dunk.com. And I still think it's funny because it was so true.
Well, it was like, his first attempt was like a 360 from the free throw line.
It was very ambitious. Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he had to settle just like for a regular old like Statue of Liberty, which was executed flawlessly. But like when you set the bar so high,
everybody's like, oh my God, that's a possibility. Oh, yeah. That's what we're doing. So, but yeah, I really think he kind of like lost confidence in it too. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, kind of saved some stuff, but yeah, the reason I brought up the tradition was because that was one of the first ones that Jen and I went to.
Yeah, because that was pumped. Like 2010, yeah.
I bought her a Shannon Brown jersey. Like we went to the ESPN Zone at Downtown Disney, and we were sitting there watching, and Jen's there in her Shannon Brown jersey, and she was so sad. She looked so sad.
I was really hoping that Larry Nance would have a good showing as a Laker at the slam dunk contest. And then he ended up being traded right before. So he was a Cavalier when it happened, and he was still pretty good. I would have picked him over Donovan Mitchell, but I often disagree with the slam dunk contest winners. So we don't really need to get into
and
that.
And picking Donovan Mitchell.
Honestly, one of my favorite memories was when Kobe and Shaq were co-MVPs. Like they had sort of been on the outs right after Shaq was traded, and it was just very sweet to like see them accept the award together. And then Kobe gave it to Shaq's son because he was a big fan of Kobe. So that was very nice. And then I loved when, you know, this, I think this was like right after LeBron and Wade had teamed up in Miami, and Kobe took the challenge of guarding them in the All-Star game very personally.
Blocked
and then
him.
Dwayne Wade ends up breaking Kobe's nose in the All-Star
game. I was thinking of a different moment, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, he
does block LeBron at one point, right? In the All-Star game.
This was at the height of the, like, LeBron isn't man enough, didn't have the clutch gene thing.
So it's definitely like 2011-ish, right?
Yeah, like Skip Bayless actually mattered back then, and Kobe blocked him. And at that time, that was like at the peak of, you know, LeBron will never be Kobe talk, especially from Lakers fans. And Kobe gets that block and well, let's just say that it got a little loud and rowdy in the Irwin household.
Yeah. Kobe had a certain level of reverence for the All-Star game that a lot of stars do not adopt. And it was nice to see everybody sort of pick up that mantle in his honor last year. I don't know if it'll happen again this year, because it's just super weird circumstances that they're in Atlanta, and I'm not going to hold it against them if they don't. But
yeah,
I liked that they brought it in 2020, and hopefully that's something that could potentially, you know, keep up going forward, because the All-Star game's cool. You know, it's nice that everybody's together, and I think it's actually a really good marketing event for the NBA. I understand why they're doing it, because everybody watches, and it's all of the stars you could possibly want the fans to know about together on one court.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just better when they actually try, and the scores are not like 190 to 175. Like it's
always take the over in the All-Star game. But the I think it's a permanent change, right? That it's gonna be like the Kobe Bryant NBA
All-Star MVP award,
I think that's the right move, because you're right. I don't think anybody's gonna take it as seriously this year, but so long as Kobe's name is on that trophy, it's just gonna mean more. It sucks. Like the reason, like this is where, you know, the kids say like, give somebody their flowers, right? Mm-hmm. You want to give people their flowers before, while they're still here. It'd be cool if they had honored Kobe beforehand so that he could actually hand that trophy over to people, like, and you would get that moment. But so long as his name is on that trophy, I think after this year, they'll go back to caring a little bit more. It's you know, so many of these players idolized Kobe growing up, and his presence is just so impossible to ignore at this point where the NBA is, and given unfortunately how things ended for him, that it's always going to matter a little bit.
Yeah, and I know Kawhi said that when he got the trophy, it just meant so much to him that he had something in his house that had Kobe's name on it.
Yeah,
and I thought that was really sweet, and hopefully that continues to be the case. But, can't believe how long it's been. But anyway, the Lakers lost to the Kings tonight. The game sucked. The refs sucked.
The league apparently sucks.
Damian Jones' stat line was less impressive than you might have thought.
Score 1 point next time, Damian.
That's all we have. That's all we have for the first half of the season for the Lakers. They now get an 8-day break until their schedule resumes after the All-Star break. Perfectly timed because we all really need it. But make sure you are still subscribed to the Silver Screen Roll podcast because we will still be talking about the team even during this break. And you can find our show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Take care.